Member Week is back at Lowe's with big savings for pros. Now through October 15th, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, building materials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings before they're gone. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And are we really like 1 month already into the year?
Isn't it insane how quickly time flies?
I'm very uncomfortable with this.
Oh.
I don't know.
So you have a case and I know that you're like hesitant about it. So I'm dying to hear about it.
All right. And you're right, and I'm glad that you said that because I was going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you this person's name right off the bat who I'm going to talk to you about today, and it's Sky Budnick. And there's a couple of things that hit me different on this case, and I hope that you'll understand why. I'm approaching this with so much thoughtfulness and sensitivity, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from. So, first of all, this case came about in a little bit of a different way for me in that I was simply scrolling through TikTok. The mindless scrolling we do sometimes, and I came across someone talking about their mental health in regards to their missing sister. And
oh, gosh.
At first, I didn't think much of it in terms of like covering it or anything like that. I actually was in tune with this because of the mental health part. And I was like, okay, tell me about your experience. And the more that I listened to her, the more I became interested in all of the background behind it. So of course I go searching. And what it turns out to be is this girl, Sky, is missing, has been missing since 2008. And she literally lived 20 minutes from me or so. So she's local. And she went to the same school as me.
And those always hit different. Like, while you were there, like, do you know her?
No, I don't. So little known fact is, you know, Melissa and I met in college. I was at our school in New Hampshire for about 2 years. Melissa and I evidently became very close because we've remained friends for nearly 20 years. Whew. Ouch. And
yeah, isn't that crazy?
I know. And I actually transferred back to Connecticut and I attended Central Connecticut State University here for the remainder of school. And I did my grad studies there and everything. This girl was going there, and although we weren't in the same class and we wouldn't have shared any classes anyway because of our interests and our majors, she was there the same time I was. She was...
Okay, that's weird.
Absolutely. And it just makes me think to myself, like, not that I'd ever know, but did we ever pass each other? Like, were we in one of those extra classes together or something like that? Did we sit next to each other? I don't know. But it really makes you feel so close to everything that's going on and the fact that she lived close and all of that. So there's that piece that really drew me into everything. The second piece here.
And it's the same thing.
Go ahead.
It's the same thing we say about Maura Murray. You know, it was in New Hampshire when we were in college in rural New Hampshire. So we connect with it differently because it literally could have been us.
100%. The other piece that's the struggle for me in talking about this case is, obviously, you know, because I just told you that I discovered this case through her sister on TikTok. So I followed her on TikTok, right. Followed whatever I could on Instagram. And what I learned is what I'm kind of making an assumption this TikTok started out to be was Megan LeBron on TikTok. She might have been talking about mental health and what it's like to lose someone and not know what happened to them. It seems to me that she's also very much an advocate for finding her sister and trying to get the word out there and doing everything that she can to create a platform that people can come to, learn more, take more action, as any relative would do if they could, I bet. Well, it seems to me that she's just started a podcast. She's doing her own thing to bring attention to her sister's case. I want to be so supportive. I want to be so thoughtful of the hard work that she's putting in and the firsthand account of what she's experienced. And that is the reason mainly why I was so hesitant to go through with this, because I don't want to take away from her. So there are parts that I am going to leave out in this story intentionally because I think that you need to go see her TikTok. I think you need to go listen to her podcast. It appears she just started, called Surviving Sky. I have intentionally not listened to any more than a couple of things on her TikTok. I have not listened to her podcast because I don't want to quote her. I don't want to take any of her work out of context or make wild assumptions. So I do try to choose my words thoughtfully. I really want to just support people hearing this story and saying, I need to know more and I need to go listen. And then I need to go tell my friend to listen to Surviving Sky or look at her TikTok or whatever. So please understand the sensitivity and the thoughtfulness I've had in presenting this. At the end of the day, all we have ever wanted to do was have more people listen to the stories of missing people. And I hope that I deliver that to you.
I support that 3,000%.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because not only is it hard work to put something into a podcast and to talk about this stuff, she's also dealing with her mental health. She's also balancing that with a family and trying to move forward, if that's even a thing when you have someone that's missing.
Okay.
She doesn't need to be knocked down. She needs to be lifted up. And if I can do that, I will.
I support that. And I think that, you know, we are conscious that families do listen to us. And we know that because they've reached out in more than one occasion. So, I mean, let's make sure that we're doing her sister justice and let's get more people to hear.
If you guys don't listen to the ends of our episodes, I just want to say it here and now. Surviving Sky is the podcast. I know that you can find it on Apple Podcasts, so go look there. I'm sure it's on other platforms as well. There's a Surviving Sky Instagram page, and there is Megan LeBron's TikTok account. You can either put in Sky Budnick, it'll come up with videos that her sister's account, or you can just search her up and you will have no problem finding all of the information on Sky. Please go listen.
Okay, so go ahead and dive in.
All right. There is not a whole lot out there. There's actually articles that tell you what happened in the days leading up to Sky's disappearance. ABC's touched it a little bit. You'll find blurbs here and there, but there's not a Wikipedia to tell me about her background and her growing up and her childhood. And there is not a Charlie Project page for her.
Interesting.
That is the most difficult thing that I have experienced. I usually have the Charlie Project to solidify that this is still a missing person, that we have a little bit of background. I don't have that, but I am certain she is missing. So don't know how to get someone on the Charlie Project. We'll go into that later. Maybe Melissa and I can do some research, and next episode or something, we can tell you how to provide information to the Charlie Project. So, Skye was born on February 22nd of 1987. Skye has a sister, Megan, as we've talked about, and I know that she has a brother, and her mother has been mentioned in numerous articles. I don't really know about her father. I can't say anything at all beyond that. I can't make any speculations, but her sister and her mother are active in trying to find Skye. According to news articles, Skye was more of an introvert who didn't have many super close connections and seemed maybe reluctant or weary or just protective of herself opening up. She did complete high school and was attending college at Central Connecticut State University. While there, Skye studied Japanese, which is an interest she had for years.
Okay.
She had dreams of visiting one day.
Okay, that's very specific and really interesting.
Yes, I did not have any specific interests like that in college.
No, neither did I.
So, like I said, she had this interest for a significant period of time. She had dreams of visiting one day. The culture, the language, everything appeared to captivate her about Japan and the Japanese language. She was also interested in anime and manga, and I don't really know. I mean, I kind of know what anime is, but if I'm being truly honest, I don't really know what either one of them are.
I agree.
During college, Skye appeared to have some type of progression into depression. One thing that Skye was looking forward to was a study abroad program in Japan. And maybe this kept her hopes up and she was excited to be able to participate in something like that. Now, I didn't know about anything like that at Central, so I missed that, but probably wouldn't have done it anyway. However, Skye missed the deadline for this Japan program, and apparently she was crushed. From my understanding, in a couple of articles, it states very clearly that this is a particular abroad program that maybe goes in cycles. So on that particular year or something, they would have gone to Japan, and then that opportunity wouldn't come up again for another 2 to 4 years or something like that. And she would have been graduated and thus missed the opportunity. Skye's grades were dropping and she was struggling, and her family did seem to notice, to which I read that Megan stated depression runs in the family, so it wasn't unfamiliar to them. They kind of knew the signs, and they suggested treatment, to which Skye declined. According to some articles, Megan points to Skye's Facebook page, which is still up, about not just what they were able to pick up from her demeanor and her affect, but they were very clear signs that she was struggling. You can still go look at her Facebook page. It is still up. Way back in like 2008 and before that, you used to be able to post writings or notes that people could look at. And I can't quite describe it, but people often took surveys or questionnaires and you could leave them up for people to read. And then you can copy and paste it and do your own. That's kind of what it is if you were a part of Facebook way back in the day. These writings, they're open, they're honest, and sad.
Okay.
And lets us into an intelligent, thoughtful, complex mind who is struggling to understand it all and make sense of the world, which is, when I read it, that's my impression. Other people may argue something differently. A lot of the things that she's feeling, some self-hatred, some conflicting feelings, like I want attention, but I'm too scared for it, are a lot of the things that I remember feeling. And I know a lot of young people feel, and you feel alone in it, and all of those things. And I don't know that she had a lot of people to talk to about it, or even normalize it. And then, of course, she didn't have access, or not access to, but she didn't have therapy to work with. So she was really struggling with this on her own. She was clearly, with no argument, in emotional pain. On March 31st of 2008, Skye went to see her family, and it seemed like a typical day. Megan seems to report that there may have been some indication, in hindsight, it was the last time they would see Skye. And Megan goes into detail about this, but this is one of those things that I'm not going to take away from Megan's firsthand account of what the details of that day to her recollection were. So I won't go into details here, but as she looks back, she does look at things and say, maybe these were signs that this is the last time that we'll see her. The next day, April 1st, 2008, Skye took a plane to Hokkaido, Japan. It is a one-way ticket. Skye had told her family that she would be spending the next 2 days or 3 days with friends. A few days pass, and Skye's family hasn't heard or seen Skye. They try calling, nothing. Social media, nothing. Her family is smart and lucky, and they either guess her password or her passwords were saved on the computer. But either way, I think it's wise to go to someone's electronic devices if they're available, or if you know that she's used them at all, maybe if it's a family computer or something, and look at those, especially in 2008. I don't think it's as natural of a thought as it might be in 2021. And there it was. They saw that Skye had booked a one-way ticket to Japan. Unfortunately, as they search, Skye's family also discovered some unsent potential starting over, running away, perhaps a suicide note. Again, never sent. And more searching showed that she took very little and a small sum of cash withdrawn from her bank with her. She also took her laptop. Megan and their mother, and mind you, they've already contacted the police.
So yep. can I ask you a question? Why do they think this might be a suicide?
Well, Skye was showing some clear signs of depression at the time.
But she wants to go to Japan.
I guess
I'm just confused.
She had reported that she wanted to see Japan before she died. I think that she made a little bit more of a pointed comment, and I don't have that quote in front of me, about wanting to see the cherry blossom before she died, or something along those lines. And then the one-way ticket to Japan as well.
Okay.
I just want to also say that police were involved at this point and everything. But nevertheless, Megan and their mother took the long trip to Japan to look for Skye. And if you're guessing, where do we start and how do we do that? Well, I'm sure they were thinking that too. And when they got there, they hit a lot of roadblocks. There was a language barrier. There is hitting just people that I don't think either culturally knew how to help or wouldn't help, or kind of shut them down because maybe it was too difficult. I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but nevertheless, it appeared to me as though it was probably a lot like they were just hitting wall after wall after wall. And they really didn't get too much further with their search. And eventually, you know, they don't live there. They do have to go home. As everyone's piecing everything together, they were able to determine that Skye did obviously took the plane. She did, in fact, land in Hokkaido. And she left further footprints. She had been to inns and spas, etc. And within, I think, and don't actually, I'm not completely sure on if it was days, weeks, or longer than that, that the trail eventually went cold and they weren't able to find any other footprints that told where Skye could have gone after that. And ever since then, the trail has really been cold. There's been no sightings, no social media presence, no logging on, nothing like that. And that's kind of where we are today in 2021 with her sister, the same questions, and really no answer for them. So I don't want to quote again, but my takeaway was from Megan was really that they just want to know, her family wants to know, if Skye has wanted to start over and start a new life. Okay, fine. We will leave you alone, but just let us know that you're okay. Is she dead? Did she meet with foul play? Did she die by suicide? Did she start a new life? Is she married somewhere out there with a new family? What happened? And honestly, I don't have any answers for that either.
Okay, so can I ask what the family thinks happened?
I don't really... I don't really know 100% what each family member thinks, if they're in agreement, if they're not. And I don't really feel comfortable alleging what they think. I think that her sister probably would say that in her TikToks or on her Instagram or in her podcast. From what I can see and what I have heard on a couple of the TikToks is the family is really open to whatever possibilities. They don't deny, from my understanding, that it could be that she died by suicide. They don't deny that she could have left her life. To me, they just don't know. And at the end of the day, they just want to know that she's okay. And if she isn't, then at least they would know.
They want to know that too. Right. All right. So you have the benefit of listening to a lot of what the sister has said. What are your first impressions? Because I know what I think already.
I'm not sure. Well, let me actually tell you this really fast. You know that I can't do the Reddit, right? I probably did the Reddit more on this case than any other.
Right.
Yeah. It was hard.
Wow.
And actually, they made some interesting points before I get to theories because I wouldn't have thought of them unless they were suggested. So.
Okay.
My understanding is that, sure, you can go and visit Japan, but you have to think of how thoughtful this execution was. So she booked a one-way flight, and I don't know that when you go on vacation to Japan, that doesn't go without question. If you're planning on staying there, you can do that for a little while, but after a certain point, you're going to have to apply for a visa. There were some arguments back and forth about how long you have to be there in order to do that. I've heard 90 days and things like that. You can't just fly over to Japan and be like, hey, I'm going to live here. Thanks. No questions asked. Which I'm not saying that I'm an idiot and wouldn't have thought about those technicalities if I had really sat down and laid this out. But at face value, that was not my first thought.
Okay, so law enforcement is involved, right? That's a safe assumption.
Yes, and I believe that when Megan and her mother were over there, they were able to have a press conference and they were able to get some involvement over there.
No. What I'm saying is, did they do, they go through, like, citizenship applications? Like, are we sure that she didn't apply to be a citizen?
As sure as I know that they checked and didn't come up with anything.
Okay. Because you understand my question.
Yes, if she had wanted to start her life over there, A, if you could even do that, how hard is it? And B, if you just decide you're going to go live over there and apply for citizenship and all of that, there would be record of that that people could find.
Right. And that's sort of what my thought was, is do we know, you know, that they verified that there's been no citizenship applications?
To my knowledge, they have not found any paper trail in regards to her residing there or really residing anywhere in Japan.
Tell me again what her fascination with Japan was.
I think just like anybody, like I have a fascination to go see the Northern Lights and I want to know about Canada, or I have a fascination with Antarctica and working there someday. Just, she enjoys the culture.
You know, the cruise ships go there, just so you know. You know that cruise ships go to those places.
Right.
Anyway. So she just, it was just something that she was fascinated with and that was the end of it.
Yes.
Okay.
The point of me bringing that up is I could get behind going to start your life somewhere else. But unless you have the knowledge and help, how could you do it there? Now, could she have gone there and then pursued another destination after that? And maybe even after that and after that? Maybe. But don't you run into the same problems wherever you go?
Not if you're traveling nonstop.
Sure, but how are you going to make the money that you need to travel?
I mean, that's a valid question. I'm going on the Reddit.
So that's what I run into. Then our other argument is, did she die by suicide? And there's enough evidence to support that, but then you go, well, how come we haven't found
her? And not
her?
Only that, you would think an American being found deceased in a different country would bring media attention.
I agree with you. So that doesn't make any sense to me. And then we have foul play, which I don't think you can write off when you go anywhere alone.
Yeah, but I am more likely to run to eliminate that.
You know what this reminds me a little bit of? I think...
What?
Is it Marilyn Carver who took the one-way ticket on a cruise?
Yep.
Now, without remembering, because it's been so long, the details, the exact details of everything that happened, I know that part of the argument was, why would you book a one-way ticket, or why wouldn't you book a one-way ticket? I think we even talked about this on a live once.
Maybe it's all she could afford. What did she bring for bags again?
Well, she brought about $800, and in 2008, I think you can pay your way back to the United States with $800.
Right, but if that's your limit, you want to go do things while you're there, you're not going to spend on your return flight. Tell me what she packed again.
I know that she had her laptop, but very little other than that.
So how do we know she's not just traveling the world and trying to find... And I'm not even saying it like, because that's what I hope for, because it is what I hope for, obviously. But I genuinely wonder if she went to Japan, found herself, and then just was traveling and didn't want to come back.
I mean, that's a possibility. She could have arrived and honestly been over the moon. It was everything that she hoped it would be. I don't have a lot in school, considering all of my interests in school related to Japan. Why not just stay here? Or why not just immerse myself in anything new that comes my way?
Because I think about someone that goes overseas, right, to learn about the culture, and then falls in love with it. So they travel, and they travel, and they travel, and they build their own life there. I don't know. I just, like, I genuinely wonder if she sort of found herself, and that's where she ended up.
If she did die by suicide, I don't even think that we can possibly imagine what was happening in her head. Why do you think that she didn't send an email home or...
And say what? Hey, I'm gonna go die by suicide?
No, you're right.
Like, and I'm not trying to be facetious about it. Like, you're not gonna write home and tell your family that you're thinking you might go die by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You're just gonna do it. But, I don't think that's what happened. I genuinely don't. I think that she got over to Japan, found herself, became happy, and was like, why would I want to go back somewhere where I wasn't happy when I'm building a life here? And then we talk about this a lot. Like, time has gone on. You don't want to, like, call your family and be like, hey, it's been, 13 years, but I'm back. The longer you're gone, the harder it is to come back.
I would have said something different if we hadn't covered that case about the missing person in Australia who was missing for like 13 or 15 years. And she was simply hiding from the world and said after a while it was too ashamed to come back.
I agree 100% with that. And that's sort of why I'm like, well, maybe she just is like, well, I'm happy here. And I'm not saying her family doesn't miss her terribly, and I'm not, like, none of that, obviously. But for her, it may just be easier.
Well, what could her family do? Like, if we were to theorize, like, what someone could do to find someone that's traveling the world just to make sure that they're okay, what do you think the police could have done, or what do you think people could have done, maybe if we didn't have the resources in 2008 that we have now in 2021?
Yeah, truthfully, I don't know the answer to that. But that's sort of, I don't know that you can go find them. I think that they've been sufficient at going on their own for this long that they don't need to do anything.
I don't know. I'm down the middle.
Okay, what are you down the middle about?
I'm literally 50-50.
What are you down the middle about?
So I don't necessarily think it was foul play. I guess I'm down the middle on died by suicide or that she's living happily somewhere.
I genuinely do.
I might have been surprised at what you're saying and what you think 50 episodes ago, but not.
Right. I just genuinely think that she probably is living her best life somewhere. As crazy as that is, because we both know that we sit here and say, how does someone leave their life? But I genuinely believe that.
Well, I do wonder what you all think, and again, I encourage you all to read as much as you can about it.
Yes, please go look at her TikTok, go look at her Insta, her Facebook, whatever it might be.
Yes, I can't imagine the turmoil of not having closure and answers at all. If one person passes it on to another person and some new information comes from it for this family, I sincerely hope that that happens. And if it happened in my family, please pass along my story. Please don't let it dissolve.
Oh, for sure.
Have no one hear anything about my loved one.
100%. I feel the exact same way. Let's keep sharing. Let's keep telling her story, and hopefully her family will get answers.
Yes. I feel honored to share a story of someone I quite literally have maybe passed in a hallway or on campus before. I sincerely appreciate her sister's every effort. And again, go look, read, listen to all the things. And that's all I've got.
And please share this with everyone, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be back next week with a whole new case.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.